This podcast is brought to you by Northern Motor Group. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
You're listening to Evenings on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Hello, welcome. George Denikian along with Louise Taffer. Hello, Louise.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good. I've been spending most of the evenings and early mornings watching the Asian Cup. What have you made of it?
I think that we're seeing some good football from the Socceroos in the last game.
I'm reminded yet again of just how difficult it can be playing away from home. And when you've got competition that's hungry, it's fired up. And it seems to me that the aura and the hype around the Asian Cup champions has sort of dissipated. Everyone seems to think that we're, I suppose since we lost to Jordan in that opening game, it seems like that shield that sort of protects the champions has slipped a little bit. And everyone thinks, come on, let's attack the Australians. We might get the result. And boy, they came at us. And fantastic finish by Rogic. Again, a move that he started way back at the other end of the field, and they ran the length of the field. The ball bounced around three or four different options and finally came back to him, and he absolutely plastered it. And it was terrific to see, and I could hear the collective breath, that sigh of relief from Simon Hill. And he doesn't do that often, which tells you that he was under an awful lot of stress too. Because Fox wants Australia to advance, of course, as all the fans do, as far as they possibly can in the competition. Like many people, I haven't been that confident of how far we could go in the tournament for a number of reasons. One, because there are a crop of young kids coming along, and also we've lost a lot of older players.
And experience.
And injury. And injury has taken a toll. It's like in some competitions, you need a little bit of luck, but you also need a little bit of timing. And it hasn't come along at the right time for the Socceroos at the moment. But I've been very, very pleased with the last couple of results, which is good.
And
that's all you can ask for.
I can tell you that next game, there are two players who will be back into the Socceroos fold.
Is that because of suspension?
One is because of suspension, and the other is Matthew Lecky, who returns from injury.
Now, you're thinking that Lecky's going to play.
That's what's being reported.
Yeah, but I'm getting very, very concerned by some of the reportage. I will be more than happy to be wrong, but I don't believe you can just willy-nilly bring players in who've missed a month's worth of work and expect them to make a real impact. They can come off the bench, perhaps, late in the game, but I doubt that they're going to start Lecky in this next game. I don't believe they'll start him. I would love to think that he's fit enough to come in at least and give us something, but he won't start.
I'm not
saying.
And
if he does, I'm wrong and they're right.
No, I'm not. I'm definitely not saying he's going to start, because I think young Chris Economides has done quite a terrific job of keeping some of the other wingers out.
Economides, I think Apostolos Yannou and young Mabil, they've all stepped up. And can you imagine if Apostolos Yannou had scored that goal?
It was just
instead
so
of hitting
unlucky.
The post. Oh, it would have given him, as we saw from McLaren, who got his first goal and broke that duck. I laughed with Athos Syrianos a couple of weeks ago, and I said to him jokingly, I said, come on, mate, do you really think the McLaren will break his duck? Yeah, he was sure, absolutely. So Athos must be sitting there with a smile on his face thinking, yeah, I got one, George, I got one. But I'm saying to him, I want McLaren to score a number of goals, not just the one. And he had a chance to score two or three times. He's just, it's not as if they weren't on target. It's just that he didn't hit them enough, far enough away from the keepers. Keepers did, on two occasions, the keepers stuck a hand out or a paw or a body, got their body in the way and positioned themselves and saved it. But they were on target, so I shouldn't be too harsh on him. But I want to see more. I just want to see more.
In terms of the top goal scorers for the Socceroos at the Asian Cup, Awa Mabil currently leads on two.
What a fantastic finish.
It was outstanding.
He looked up, he saw it, and on his lesser foot, can I tell you, Louise?
He curled it.
He curled it. Precision. It was just beautiful to watch. And the more I watched it, the more excited I got. And then you see him with his, you know, that little new bit of...
The celebration.
That celebration. And then when you discover what the celebration was all about, he's a smart young man and he's going places. And I think his side, his European side, might be looking at fielding a few more offers for him. I think he's a very exciting young player.
And you talk about that because it is why we have international tournaments as well. It gives agents and other coaches around the world an opportunity.
Johnny Grimaldi, you're listening.
An opportunity to look at some of the players that are on show, potentially. Oh,
it's terrific stuff.
I don't think Chris Economides will be staying in the A-League for much longer if he continues this form.
Well, don't be a spoiled sport. You started saying this for young Daniel Azzani, and what happened?
I was right.
He left us. Yes. I'm not very comfortable when you're right. I prefer it when you're wrong. Like, we were talking earlier before we came to air, and I said to you, where's Seaford Oval? And you said, it's not in Canberra. And I said, okay, that's most helpful. Now I know it's not in Canberra. I also know that it's in East Queanbeyan,
which is in New South Wales.
And it's a and there's a reason for it. It's a rugby league ground. So why are we playing soccer in it?
I don't know.
Well, here you go. We need to straighten that up real quick. A couple of things we're also going to do. We're going to take a good long look at the A-League ground this week. We're going to preview most of the matches. There's W League action coming up, Miss Louise.
There is W League action coming up tonight, Thursday evening. What do they call it? Thursday?
I haven't heard that. Is that one of those Nick DiBano, Athos Syrianos, you know, cracks?
No, I think it's something that's been made up on Twitter. I just see it coming in my feed.
Yeah, I reckon it's an Athos and Nick DiBano moment, I reckon. They've been trying to promote it a little bit differently. And you know how those two young guys think, don't you? Sideways. They don't think straight up and down. They're like, crazy stuff. I noticed too that the pioneering hour is going to be a very exciting one. We have a much heralded NSL player, a guy who not only played as a winger, and the only reason I know that is because G2, George Katsanis, keeps telling me. So much heralded winger, played in the NSL, played for South Melbourne, played for a host of clubs, played for Preston, played for Altona, and played overseas as well, and then went on to coach Goran Lozanovski. So someone I'm really looking forward to catching up with in the studio. But getting back to Seaford Oval, that's the game between Canberra United and Melbourne Victory. What do you think? Do you actually think that Canberra can mount a serious challenge and upset Victory, who look to be just about one of the favourites to take out their first W League crown?
Well, Canberra United are coming off the back of a 1-0 win last round against Adelaide United. But Melbourne Victory have just been in stunning form this season. We haven't seen them at the top of the table recently.
Yep.
And when I say recently, I mean in previous seasons. So it's a big thing for them to be right up there in the top echelon.
Have they got much? Have they got enough weaponry to upset Victory, who've been looking pretty good?
Canberra United sometimes pipe up and surprise us with these unexpected performances, especially when you have Ellie Carpenter running down the
Oh, yeah, she's a terrific player.
The wing.
Terrific player. Speaking of terrific things, it's always good to see what competition does. Melbourne City, their W League side, has created history from the minute they hit the introduction button. They went through undefeated in their opening season with 14, fantastic results. Then they backed it up with another couple of victories. So three in a row, they were shooting for their fourth. That's not going to happen this year. But those three wins must have stung like anything if you were a Victory W League player. And sure enough, they've made some astute moves and picked up some terrific talent. And sure enough, they're right there. They're on the cusp of doing something tremendous and winning the W League.
They are. And it's pretty exciting, isn't it, George?
It is. I think because you see new players and you see the standard of the league, you know, just lifting each and every year. And I don't think there's a better advertisement than seeing the players come in and so many new players from different countries adding some punch, adding some run, adding some skill. And, of course, seeing the likes of Sam and, you know, all the Australian Matildas players, except for Kai Simon, who's done an ankle and will miss the rest of the season. That's disappointing. But all the Australian players, all the Matildas, must be focused not only on finishing the job that they've started this year in the W League, but going on with it and being in fantastic, you know, fitness and form for about June of this year, when we head off to the World Cup to play in France against the best in the world.
And that's why, and that's another reason why the W League competition has lifted this year, because many of the internationals are thinking, wow, this is the only other chance that we're really going to get to show ourselves week in, week out for our national team coaches and really build our own personal case to be on that plane to go to France. And it's no different here in the W League. No doubt all those Matildas, all those current Matildas, are vying for their spot on that plane, as are every other player in the competition. Many outsiders want to get in.
Alan Stutage has an enormous opportunity, but he also has an incredible responsibility. He's been adding to that crew. He's been adding to that that squad, and it keeps getting just more talented each and every month.
We were able to talk to former Matilda Sarah Walsh a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Just on,
what did you learn from that? What did you get out of it?
Just on the upcoming FIFA Women's World Cup and maybe a glimmer as to what the squad might look like. And one thing that was quite poignant that she said, it was you need to take 23 of your best players.
Oh, no doubt.
It sounds really straightforward, but you need to take 23 of your best players so that you
have them all in form.
Enough depth, just in case throughout the tournament there are certain injuries that pop up.
Yep. What else I was going to say that I'm reminded of, and that is the incredible responsibility of everybody in the sports science realm to get those players back as quickly as possible. I'm reminded that the players will want to get it. I know we've heard from Kaya Simon. I heard something the other day that she is fired up. She understands she's got 3 months of rehab, and she's good to go. Mentally, she's good to go. I just want her back because she's a difference maker. She's just different enough in the way she attacks the ball, in the way she looks at scoring. So many players, you know, want to finesse the ball almost into the goalpost. She just sees the goalpost and decides, I'm going to have a crack from here. And she's lit up the highlight reel with some terrific goals over the last couple of years. So she's someone I'm really looking forward to. Let's do something else we haven't done for a little while, and that is check the headlines.
News headlines.
Yes, George, South Korea have defeated Group C rivals China 2-0 in their final game to finish top of their standings.
That's an important opportunity for them. Yeah, it looks good.
And your favourite?
Oh, yes, Sun Hwan-min, the man they call the Sun, the one who lights up most of White Hart Lane when he's playing at the top of his powers. You mean the captain of South Korea?
Yes, he was quite pivotal in his first game of the tournament with 2 assists.
We're going to miss him at Tottenham over the next month.
In the other Group C match, Kyrgyzstan defeated the Philippines 3-1 to gain entry into the next round as one of the best third-ranked sides.
Well, that's surprising. I didn't expect to see them up there, but there you go. Go on.
In Group D tournament, favourite Iran has finished top of its group after a scoreless draw against Iraq. And Vietnam defeated Yemen 2-0 to finish third in Group D. Vietnam's qualification, though, into the next round has not been confirmed just yet, with Oman and Lebanon currently sitting in third place as well with their respective groups, and they're still yet to play later tonight.
All right, let's look at transfer news.
Former Adelaide United forward and 2010-2011 Johnny Warren medalist.
That's right, Marcos Flores.
Yes, has signed for South Australian NPL powerhouse Adelaide City.
That's a good pickup. Just when you think things were nice and quiet in the NPL in South Australia, along comes that sort of news. Terrific. Marcos Flores to play for Adelaide City. Okay.
And according to The Age's Michael Lynch and the World Game website, both have strongly hinted about the move.
What's the move? What's the move?
Well, the Western Melbourne Group is set to announce Central Coast Mariners legend John Hutchison as the newest member of its coaching staff.
So the word is that Johnny Hutchison will join another John. Johnny Anastasiadis. That's good. Johnny Anastasiadis and Johnny Hutchison.
Hold on, George. Is this going to be like what we see at Perth Glory with the three Tonys?
It could well be. That could well be the secret to success.
The three Johns.
Oh, now we need to start looking at head coaches. John. All right. I see Hutchison has been coaching in the United States for the Seattle Sounders reserve side. And we're hearing that he has accepted the offer to join the expansion outfit, which is really gearing itself up. Steve Horvath, Lou Sticker, Mr. Bassetto and co, they're all making sure that their moves are solid and they're going forward. Their membership drive will have started. Will start soon, I dare say, if it hasn't already started. And they've got a website up and they're pushing that as much as they possibly can. And I'm thinking about it, it's not that far away.
No, only a couple of months.
That's right. Well, it's got to be only a few months for the very simple reason that they need to have a pre-season. They've also got to play, early games in the FFA Cup for next season. You see, you're right. They haven't got much time. They better get on with it. Let's look at A-League news.
The Central Coast Mariners, George, get this, and I'm sure you would have watched it last night. They actually recorded their first win of the season, defeating Melbourne City 2-1 last night in Gosford.
And listen. I want to tell people out there that this is the festive season, and whenever you go, it's a European tradition. Whenever you go to someone's home, you take a gift. I didn't expect it to be 3 points, but well done to the Mariners. Well done to their captain, especially Matt Simon.
Yes, who sealed the victory with
his... He sealed the deal in, what was it, the 87th minute?
That's correct.
Ouch.
And guess how long the drought was?
What? You mean between wins? Going to, it's probably about a year. What was it?
Yeah, roughly around that. And to be precise, 327 days.
Okay, here's the question I have for you. If we could get Connor Payne in, right, and he was scheduled to be here, but I would have asked him, first question up, what do you think I would have asked him?
What was the feeling like in the dressing room after?
No. Think about it. I would have asked a more important question. How many in the side knew the words to the song?
Well,
they haven't had a victory in nearly a year.
It's been
and there's some
ages.
New boys there. Come on, Matt Miller wouldn't have known
Aidan O'Neill wouldn't have known it.
Okay, and of course, Mulvey has been under tremendous pressure.
You would be going. I mean, this is their first win for the A-League season.
Yep.
How would they be feeling mentally to go that long?
I would have thought that would have been very, very tough. But they're a local club, unlike some of the other franchises. Their district, they're surrounded, their fans are, pretty strong. I remember a couple of years ago, I caught up with some Mariners fans who were coming to Amy Park. And we got to talking, well before the game, and they were buoyant. They were in good humour. They went on to lose, but they were really there to see their side play. That's all that mattered, and that made me feel, that there's enormous excitement about real football fans. Real football fans, yes, you want their side to win, right? Because at the end of the day, not only is it the bragging rights, but it's one of the reasons you go to let off a bit of steam, to, de-stress. And one of the best ways to do that, of course, is scream your head off when your side's winning, not when your side's losing. So tough gig for City. They'll have to reset very quickly. But I'll tell you something, the people, and I haven't seen it too much in the so-called post-match report, but they missed Harrison Delbridge. He was suspended. He gathered too many yellow cards. It's come back to haunt them. Come back to haunt them.
And I'll tell you something else that came back to haunt them.
What was that?
Was Lucky Wales. He scored.
Oh, no, he didn't haunt them. He didn't haunt City. He helped City.
He haunted the Central Coast Mariners, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it was great.
Get my drift?
I think he's improving each and every week.
He is.
I know people look at the young man and they say he's not scoring enough goals, but one of the things that you've clamoured and talked about from day one when we started FNR, you said to me, how is it possible that we're going to get our young men and women to play the game and improve and grow if we're not giving them opportunities to play? So here we are. Here's the side. Melbourne City giving the young man a chance and a contract. He's had to leave all the way from New South Wales, northern New South Wales. He's had to come down to a whole new city. He's not on the biggest contract. I think it's the minimum, isn't it? Or somewhere around those lines.
I'm not privy
to his... But he's giving 100%. And to all those people who say, you can give 150%, you can't. All you can give is 100%. And if you give me 100%, you're going to go a long, long way. And he's giving it each and every week. And I commend him immensely. And, he's had some real big setbacks, especially in the derby when, he and the victory keeper were at it one-on-one and the keeper outmaneuvered him. And his first touch let him down. But he's come back and he's not a quitter, and that pleases me enormously. And I wish him well, because there's a very big game coming up on Saturday night at Amy Park, and it sees them up against the
A-League
leaders. Yeah,
yes,
yeah, it won't be easy.
Glory. And on top of that, he's playing out of position, and Warren Joyce has started to mould him into that forward role.
In fact, while we're talking about the A-League... Let's have a look at the opening game of the round, and that's tomorrow night. It's Western Sydney, the Wanderers, up against Adelaide United. It's being played at ANZ. It's the 7:50 start. Let's look at the head-to-head record. Which way do you reckon it leans? Do you reckon the Wanderers have had the wood over Adelaide, or the other way around?
I'm going to say Adelaide has had the wood over the Western Sydney Wanderers.
Okay, well, they've just edged them ahead. 7-5. With eight games between the two sides drawn. The last clash was a 2-2 draw at Cooper Stadium. That was round 9, and it's been, if you think about it, long and hard, downhill for the Wanderers since the teams drew on Boxing Day.
Look, I would say, in all fairness, that since Marcus Babbel has started to test with some of his players, we've seen improvement from them.
Yeah, but he wants them to play a little more nasty football. He wants a bit more mongrel. That's the word that Athos Syrianos would have used if he was here. He would have liked to have used the word mongrel. Babbel wants a little less, smiley. He wants them playing a nastier style of football without being silly. He thinks they've been too nice. Yeah? Their record... their conversion record has not been very good. In fact, I think it's the second worst in the league. And the thing is interesting, they're running out of time if they're going to be a serious contender to be in that place, in that finals place, in the top six. They've got to start. Do you think they can do it at ANZ on Friday, tomorrow night?
I think it will be a draw. And whether or not they can make the top six, well, that's going to be determined, because they're currently 10 points.
You're telling me that the Western Sydney Wanderers, minus Keanu Backus, minus Jordan O'Doherty, out through injury, are going to stand up and take on the side that really got unlucky last week.
Yes.
Adelaide played really, really well against the Victory and got beat.
Yep, I'm going to say I'm going to say a draw, because again, I saw from the Wanderers, and if you've been watching the games,
I'm tipping Adelaide.
It's been quite promising. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that they are going to have a draw with Adelaide United, who they are 10 points behind. Adelaide United currently sitting in sixth position on the table, and is it too late for the Western Sydney Wanderers to catch them at this point in the season?
I think at the moment, the way they're playing, I can't see a big change, unfortunately, which is going to hurt them because their fans are some of the best fans in the league. Let's take a break. You're listening to Evenings on FNR. George Stanikian along with Louise Taffer.
You're listening to Evenings on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Yes, George Stanikian with Louise Taffer. And interesting, we've got a number of things that we're addressing. We've been looking at the A-League round and we've already previewed the Western Sydney Wanderers game coming up at ANZ. Tomorrow night, it's up against the Adelaide Reds. We've got another game at Jubilee Stadium, which is starting to become a fortress for Sydney FC. They're taking on the Adelaide Jets. The Adelaide Jets this time of the year...
The Newcastle Jets.
I said the Adelaide Jets. That's a Freudian moment, isn't it? The Adelaide... No, I'll do it. Newcastle Jets. Gee, I should ground one before I launch the others. The Newcastle Jets this time last year were at the top of the competition and looking red hot. And how they missed out. Only VAR knows. And even VAR had a hiccup in the grand final. Only people that don't know are the victory fans. Sydney FC, head-to-head against the Jets, have been pretty impressive. 25-7 with 10 matches drawn. The last time they played was a 1-1 draw at McDonald Jones Stadium. This time it's at Jubilee. Now, the Sky Blues, it's got to be said, are starting to get comfortable at Jubilee, which is normally the home of the St. George Dragons, the rugby league side, and also the St. George Cricket Club. They had two matches there early. They lost both of those, but three straight wins, and they've been looking pretty good. And I thought they were lucky, though, to just shade the Adelaide Reds. Now, they're unbeaten in their last 8 home games against Newcastle. Visitors are getting desperate. Vargas is back from suspension for the Jets, who may also field their winger, young Joey Champliss, it'll be the first game for the season for him. They could exploit some holes left by Josh Brillante, who's the other player, along with Harrison Delbridge, has accumulated too many cards, and he's going to be missing. Now, Josh has been fantastic for Sydney. Will his miss this week, will it affect that very tight unit called Sydney FC?
Certainly. I guess that is a weak area now that they don't have Brillante, and given the fact that they also don't have Ryan Grant, who is obviously with the Socceroos on Asian Cup duty. So that could be an area that the Jets might look to exploit heading into this match, especially with Ronnie Vargas returning from suspension.
I'll tell you what the Jets will have to do, though. They'll have to really use their long-range lassos and grab not only Adam Lafondre. I'm having a really good day. but I'm thinking of Alex Brosk. Broski and Adam Lafondre have together been pretty good. But Alex Brosk, the veteran captain of Sydney FC, he's kicked 14 goals against Newcastle. That's the best he's managed to get against any club. So he's got a fondness for that defence. He basically doesn't see it. He just runs straight through them.
And he's been performing quite outstanding lately. I mean,
a first
A-League hat-trick.
At Jubilee.
At Jubilee. And he's just taken his game to another level. And despite age, he's only getting better.
I think you need to leave age alone. Just let it sit there in the quiet. He's a more mature and a more advanced footballer than he was. He's also a whole lot smarter. So Alex Brosk could be the difference maker, you think?
But one thing is, Steve Corica didn't actually start him last game. So how...
Saving him up for this one.
Potentially. And we've seen managers do that. Tony Popovich, when they were facing Brisbane Roar with Sydney FC in mind, he actually left two players at home. And that was Marcella and also Spranovic. And what happened when they came to face Sydney FC is Popper brought them back into the starting 11, and that worked wonders. And
made a difference.
I think that's what managers need to do coming into the January period, because it's such a tight turnaround and you have, you know, a number of games in a short period of time. So you need to manage your squad and manage your good players and key players who can step up in big moments.
Well, speaking of turnarounds, Melbourne City up against Perth Glory at Amy Park on Saturday night. It's the 7:50 game head-to-head. Melbourne City 7, Glory 14. So 2-1, that's pretty impressive. And they've drawn 7 games. The last time these sides played was at Nib, and it was a 1-0 win to the Glory. City seem to struggle against Glory, I think, more than any other side they play. It's just,
why is that?
Well, I think it's a matchup. There are certain... it could well be that there's a very smart Spaniard who plays for Glory, and he loves the City defence.
The midfield magician.
Well, you saw what he did last week. You know, Glory had no right to come back from 3-1 so late in their contest and run away with it 4-3. But they did, which is fantastic news for their fans, but really tough stuff, really tough stuff.
That's been a common theme, though. Come on, this season for the Glory. They love to win it late and come from behind.
Well, they're a very fit side, which is what Tony Popovich tends to do with all his teams. But they're very keen to get, you know, sorted. They love playing at Amy Park. It's almost their home away from home. Did I really say that? Yeah, I did. Look, City have got to forget that upset last night. They copped a late penalty, and, of course, worse than that, their goalkeeper saved it. And Matt Simon, the Mariners captain, ran on and picked up the pieces and put the ball away. So, yeah, we weren't going to win it. Unfortunate. There you go. And to all those people who are wondering which side's going to turn up, you can rest assured, whatever side City puts up, Diego Castro will be looking for them. He's lodged, was it, less than 300 minutes as of late in all the matches. But every time he runs onto the pitch, he looks class. Just knows how to line up. If he is fit, he's going to make a huge, boost to the title hopes of Perth Glory, no doubt about it.
And just to give you a little bit more insight into Perth Glory's depth.
Right.
Against the Wanderers,
Gesundheit.
Their bench, yeah. Jason Davidson, Brendan Santelab, Diego Castro, and Neil Kilkenny on the bench.
Oh, they're only playing. He did that on purpose, didn't he? Because he knows they're getting ready for the game on the weekend. It's going to be terrible. I'm feeling really sick as it is.
That was on Sunday, though. This is a week away. That's a week away.
Yeah.
Potentially, but I think given that the turnaround was so tight last time, that's what I was telling you about with the midweek fixture with the Sydney FC.
The ins and outs. What have you noticed in the ins and outs?
Well, Harrison,
is there anything that's Harrison Delbridge will be back?
He will be.
It's a bit like Star Wars, isn't it, when you say Harrison Ford?
And Dario Vidicic has
the
been
Millennium
promoted.
Falcon. Yeah, Dario Vidicic. We need him back, but we need him back and firing. He's looked a little sore. Is that fair to say? You looked him. He's just not running with the same. Well, I won't say venom. He just with the same surety, the same comfort. It's like he's done something to a groin, or I don't want to speculate too much, but it could be a hip. Something has bothered him because he hasn't really looked the same sort of player over the last couple of weeks. But a tremendously important round for City, and equally for Glory, yet another opportunity to just nail the City, you know, scalp to the top of the mast. And leave Victoria, head back to Western Australia with, a huge gap at the top of the A-League table.
Well, currently the gap between first and second is 6 points. Melbourne Victory trail Perth Glory by 6 points.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that because Melbourne Victory take on who at Amy Park on Sunday? At 5. This is the 5 o'clock game Sunday afternoon.
Wellington Phoenix. Mark Rudin's Phoenix.
Yeah, suddenly. Now, you wouldn't have said this last year, But Mark Rudin has made an impressive start to his A-League coaching career. He seems to have turned this club around. And you don't throw those words out lightly because, you know, coaches have come and made a pretty interesting start at Phoenix, and two or three games in, suddenly it's back to the same old Wellington Phoenix. But this looks like a different Wellington Phoenix. This one has teeth, and it also has three or four players at the front who love to go forward as a unit and score goals. You've got David Williams, you've got Supreet Singh, you've got the new New Zealander, former Fijian, you know, who just likes to run at defences and score goals. So interesting times. Is Ola Toivonen fit and ready to play for victory? Because his appearance will make a huge difference. Depends which side. Have you looked at the ins and outs for this particular round?
Yeah, currently he has been named in the squad. He's okay. Not. It's not showing up that he is out.
Okay.
Currently, so Kenny Athu has been promoted and Birkin Kurda has also been promoted. As I said, no outs for Melbourne Victory.
What about Wellington Phoenix?
There are quite a lot of unavailables for Kevin Muscat's team, though. As we know, Honda.
Yeah, yeah, forget that.
Ansell.
Yeah.
Wellington Phoenix, Mandy Sosa returns from suspension. Dylan Fox has been promoted. Alex Rufa returns from suspension. And Nathan Burns has also been promoted.
Yeah, well, see, Nathan's another one of these guys. If he's to strike form, they could have a four-pronged unit at the top that can start really, you know, causing opposition defences, you know, leaving them with a lot of headaches. You know, who are we going to cover? Can't double team players, because you double team somebody, you open up the pathway for someone else. So interesting. And head to head, by the way, and you would expect this because Victory have one of the best records in the A-League, 19 to Phoenix 8 with 7 drawn. And the last time they played, 1-1 at Amy Park. I think it's that, though, it's going to be Ola Toivonen's Melbourne Victory. Because, as you know, Honda's out for a number of weeks. I think it's going to be most interesting. Most interesting. Is Barbarouzis back?
He is back. He scored a hat-trick.
Yeah, he's red hot.
Brisbane Roar.
Storm Roo, another one who, you know, seems to light up the place. So it's going to be a challenge. Roy Krishna on one side, David Williams on the other, Supreet Singh on the other, up against Ola Toivonen, Kostas Barbarouzis, young Troisi, the man with no hair, and, of course, the one that Peter Katholis loves very much, Terry Antonis.
And hasn't he been in some stunning form
as
of late?
Absolutely. No doubt about that. Let's look at one of the other games. Oh, by the way, go for a tip. Go on. You're a bold tipster, unlike Nick DiBano, who never sticks his head out.
And, again, I'm going to say this is going to be a draw because I don't think it's going to be...
What is it with you and sitting on fences?
Let me just justify my point here.
Okay, go on.
I just don't think it's going to be what we saw when Melbourne Victory recently played Brisbane Roar. It's not going to be 5-0. It's going to be much closer than that.
Okay. I was just going to step up and say it could be 6-0.
I respect where Wellington is at, and as all the other boys would know here on FNR that I predicted they would be in the top six.
Yep.
Because I felt like Mark Rudin had the qualities to really turn this Phoenix team around.
Yep.
And it just had to take some time.
I don't think people doubted whether he had the ability, but you need sometimes a little bit of something else. And clearly at this stage, we're quite a few rounds now into the competition, and he's looking most impressive. And if he doesn't pick up, mind you, we've got to say they've got to continue in this form. If they continue in this form, he may well end up with a terrific finish to the season, but he might claim the title of Coach of the Year. Certainly new Coach of the Year, no doubt about it.
Very well. He could do so.
Okay, so you've predicted yet another draw.
Yes.
So everybody,
I'm going to predict another draw. What are you going to say?
I'm thinking Victory at home.
Okay.
Let's go to the Central Coast Mariners now, buoyant after that first win in 327 days.
Will they continue that momentum?
Well, they're playing, they might, because they're playing Brisbane Roar at home. It's the 7 o'clock game, and I'm thinking this is the Sunday night game, head-to-head. Raw have really run away with this. Raw 28, the Mariners 7, and there have been 12 draws. Last time they clashed, it was a 1-1 draw at Suncorp. No A-League relationship is more lopsided than this one. So which one are you thinking? Are you thinking that the new Central Coast Mariners, buoyed by their win over City, can go and make a two in a row against the side that basically has had their number almost since inception? Are you that bold? I know Nick DiBarno would be. He's the most gallant and crazy of our tipsters.
I think it could go either way, especially given that they've just secured their first 3 points for the season, which is massive for the club. However, I think that Brisbane Roar will win this game, only given that they are also due a win. And I feel like Adam Taggart is going to get on the score sheet again because he really wants that golden boot, George.
And well, he might want the boot, but I think Connor Payne and I think Matthew Miller may well go quite some way to upsetting Taggart and co.
You think the Mariners are going to win?
I think they're going to go 2 out of 2.
Okay.
You know, wins, victories have this amazing capacity to energise and charge you up. It's a bit like getting the battery cables out and you're getting someone to give you a jump start. You feel pretty good for a while. It could be 3 or 4 weeks. But no, I'm thinking Connor Payne, who has scored some terrific goals throughout the season, and Matthew Miller, who played for South Melbourne in the NPL. He's stepped up and he just continues to show us how much he's matured from his early days at Melbourne City when he was a youngster playing in the youth team and played some games in the seniors. So to Matthew Miller, congratulations. Love your form currently. And to Connor Payne, who continues to be a real thorn in the side of a number of sides, I reckon they might, with their speed, inject some of that missing energy to give them a surprise 2 out of 2.
And while you're on
what
that...
What are you thinking? Are you tipping a draw again?
No. While you're on that, I want to get your thoughts first.
I thought I just gave them to you.
No, but I want specific thoughts as a score.
Oh, right. Oh, really?
Yes, really.
Okay, 3-1.
3-1. You
absolutely.
Think the
yep.
Central Coast Mariners yep. are going to defeat Brisbane Roar?
3-1.
3-1.
Correct.
Well, I'm going to say Brisbane Roar are going to defeat Central Coast Mariners 2-1. And I will also
You've only
tell
done
you,
this because you want to be obstreperous.
No.
You've been waiting all evening to say, no, I'm going to back my tip against your tip. I think what we'll do is we'll ponder that thought for a moment. We'll have an opportunity to come back because I want to play you something. It's the coach of the Socceroos, Graham Arnold. We won't do it just now. We'll take a short break, but when we come back, we'll hear from Graham Arnold as Australia prepares to play early next week a very important game against who?
Find out tonight.
Okay.
You're listening to Evenings on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
George Stanikian with Louise Taffer, and in a little while, not too far away now, the Pioneers this week. We'll be featuring another winger. I don't know how George Katsanis manages to do it, but he's found another winger. Not just anybody. This guy's been a star in the NSL. He's been a coach as well. His name is Goran Lozanovsky. I remember some of the games he's played and how many matches he turned with sheer talent and inspiration. Speaking of that, the guy who's got the reins for the Socceroos at the moment, a guy called Graham Arnold. Now, he's a guy who really alienates, polarises the football public. You either love him or you hate him, or some, you know, don't mind him. But we haven't had a coach like this for quite some time. Probably Rudi Gutendorf was the other one who alienated people as much. But so far, so good. Yes, we stumbled out of the blocks defending the Asian Cup in the opening game, but let's not misunderstand things too. Jordan have shown some terrific form and, they're playing a style of football that's precise. They're striking like a rattlesnake. You know, bang, they go forward and they do it with precision and they've scored some cracking goals. And I'm thinking that maybe I'd like to play them again soon. Yeah?
Well,
take some of that energy and you know, release a little bit of the tension, because the Socceroos over the last couple of games have just started to gather themselves. And you, as you mentioned, there are a couple of boys coming back because now they'll be fit and the other one will be out of suspension.
The only chance, if we can play Jordan again, is...
In the final?
In a semi-final.
Oh. Even better if we play them.
In a final.
Can you imagine if we play them in a final and it's for the right to play in the big Asian Cup final? That'd be just right. No, that's how you do it. If you're going to beat someone, make it worthwhile.
Bring our focus back to the first part of the Asian Cup.
Yep.
The Socceroos are obviously through to the round of 16 after finishing second in their group. And before Japan take on Uzbekistan tonight, we heard from the Socceroos head coach Graham Arnold.
We're very grateful and happy to obviously go through the last 16 and with two wins out of the three games. And, you know, I do believe that the longer that we do go in this tournament, it's a longer the learning experience on a four-year journey for these younger players. And we'll give them a few days off or a few days to recover, and then we'll prepare for the next game, whoever that is. Yeah, look, I thought that was a difficult pitch to play on. It was quick, very quick. And, you know, Mabil, fantastic strike. But, you know, that's another thing that boys learning process again. There's always, you know, on the mental side of things, there's a 3 or 4 minute window after you score a goal that you either get another one or you can concede one. And, you know, I can scream at them from the sideline about staying switched on. But, you know, we can learn from that one as well.
That's what the leaders in the team should be doing. As soon as you score, they should be buckling down. They should be making sure that they're calling the shots and keeping the defence alert and awake, because there's nothing worse than you score a cracking goal, you get super excited, you throw your arms in the air, you run around like a headless chook, and then 67 seconds later you're taking the ball back to the centre circle because they've just scored against you. Nothing worse. I used to tell my defenders whenever we played and we scored a goal, this is it. You know, keep it clean for 10 minutes and we can get over the top of this. That's the coach. Who are we going to play, do you think? Do you think we'll play Japan?
It remains to be seen.
Come on, be bold. You know your way around. You've seen enough tournament play.
Both are currently tied on points. 2 wins from 2.
Yes.
I don't know. I think that we will be playing Uzbekistan. But then again, they've been quite good.
They have been very good.
I think everyone is hoping for them rather than Japan. But see, look, my train of thought isn't like that. I mean, we're going to be facing one or the other, and we've already gotten into the round of 16. So whoever you face, take it by the horns and run with it.
Absolutely, because this is all about tournament play. You've got to win, and you've got to beat everybody or anybody. You just can't sit there and think, we want to play those guys, because it doesn't work like that. Almost time for us to go. You've had some interesting, things to say about the A-League round this week. Let me throw something at you without notice. Which side's going to cause the upset this weekend? Come on, Miss Louise. Which of the sides is going to throw up a tremendous upset?
I'm going to say...
And give their fans a real fillip.
Well, would it be an upset if Wellington Phoenix defeat Melbourne Victory?
You bet.
All right.
Playing away from home.
I'm going with that. And Wellington Phoenix's away record is outstanding. They've only lost one game.
So not really an upset, is it?
Well, no. So...
No, it's an upset. If they beat the side that everyone is touting to be the best team in the competition outside of Perth Glory... there are many people who are saying, wait till Honda comes back, because it'll be... And when you saw them score 5 goals the other day against almost a hapless Roar, they looked seriously impressive. For me, the upset of the round, without a doubt, you ready for it?
I already know what it is.
Central Coast Mariners to make... Oh, you expected me to say that City are going to thump Glory.
No, I knew you were going to say the Central Coast Mariners.
There's no way I'd say that with all the Tonys that I know. They would ring me up and make my life hell.
No, I knew you were going to say the Central Coast Mariners are going to upset Brisbane Roar.
Look, David Clarkson, former South Melbourne star, buzzed me just a moment ago and he said, you got Goran Lozanovsky on in the Pioneers. And I said, yep. He says, he's a beauty. So thank you, Miss Louise. It's almost time for G2 to join us and our special guest on the Pioneers. Back with more Evenings on FNR in just a moment.
You're listening to Evenings on FNR, Football Nation Radio.